106.6. Okay, that was Edema with Giving In. I'm Dom Robinson, and you're listening to the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson. It's a weekly show where I look through the week's releases in movies and video games, plus the charts, a look at what's new on TV, and news for all three. DVDfever.co.uk, which is a non-profit website, has recently had a revamp, so please do take a look. If you've got anything else, anything to say about anything here on the show today, do get in touch via the Facebook page, facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. And you can also see all the trailers for all the films you hear about on today's show. Okay, in the first hour, we talk about all things to do with film. We start off with a review of Horrible Bosses on Blu-ray. Then we have the top 10 movie charts. And then we look at the new cinema releases, including Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, and Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. Looking forward to that one, yeah. Then we have new DVD releases, including the Inbetweeners movie and Super 8, and finally some film news. So we start off with a review of Horrible Bosses. As the film begins, stockbroker Nick Hendricks, Jason Bateman, tells us in a voiceover that in a lot of businesses, no one ever likes to take stuff from anyone, and that such a design for life didn't work from his grandma, who came to the UK with $20 in her pocket and had only turned it into $2,000 by the time she died. Nick surmises that the key to success is to take stuff, and that after 8 years of this, he's about to pay off with a big promotion and his own office. His only problem is what stands in his way, his horrible boss, Dave Harkin, Kevin Spacey. He's not the only one, as we're then introduced to dental assistant Dale Arbus, Charlie Day, who's being sexually harassed by dentist Julia Harris, Jennifer Aniston. And then account manager Kurt Buckman, Jason Sudeikis, who doesn't have to put up with a horrible boss, but does have to deal with his horrible boss's son, Bobby Pellett, played by Colin Farrell, sporting a very dodgy comb-over. After the boss, Jack Donald Sutherland, dies of a heart attack straight after telling Kurt that it'll be him running the company one day, so that's clearly knackered his prospects. To prove how callous he can be, Bobby wants Kurt to trim the fat, by which he means fire the fat people. He goes on to add, "They're lazy, slow, and they make me sad to look at." Instead, Bobby is such a nasty piece of work that he forces Kurt to fire their sole wheelchair-bound employee, and then trying to play the victim by making it look like it was all Kurt's idea. Dale's problem is that Julia thinks she can parade about her office wearing little more than a smile and a white coat, and that Dale will take it because she knows he's a registered sex offender, something that only came about because he was caught urinating in a children's playground, his defence being that he was right next door to a bar and that it was late at night and no kids were about. Overall, Horrible Bosses starts off brilliantly, with some great moments of dialogue, but turns into a movie that's just not quite as clever as it thinks it is, and a lot of the one-liners just don't hit home like they should. In addition, the trio's attempts to hire a hitman lead them to Jamie Foxx, but he only gives them half-assed advice on how to kill someone rather than doing the job himself, and even then it looks like he's just phoning it in, making it all a rather waste of his appearance. And while Kevin Spacey is always worth a watch, he never matches his performance as Buddy Ackerman in Swimming with Sharks, so that does also serve as an added disappointment. After the three leads, Jason Bateman has a far better comic timing than the other two, which means that they are the weak links in the chain. In addition, Jason Sudeikis doesn't really cut it as his ladies' man type character that he portrays, and at one point when Charlie Day's character ingests cocaine, I can see the director clearly thought it was hilarious about how he subsequently acts all hyper, but it just becomes intensely annoying. Presented in the original theatrical ratio and in 1080p high definition, the quality of the print is crisp and clear, and there's no problems on the disc. Audio-wise, the film is presented in 5.1 DTS HD Master Audio, but there's no notable surround sound or even split surround effects, so this doesn't even begin to get credited as a demo disc. The extras are as follows, but, you know, for a release that makes itself look like a special edition, it's clearly lacking in supplementals. Now we have my least favourite career, which is only last 5 minutes, and director Seth Gordon and key cast members just have sound bites about horrible bosses they've worked with, and all mixed in with clips from the film. Surviving a Horrible Boss, that's nearly 7 minutes, that's in a similar style, but this piece doesn't have a lot of structure to it, but there is a brief bit watching towards the end about the stunt work of a particular fantasy sequence early on. Being Mean is So Much Fun, that's 7 minutes. It's another featurette where the three horrible bosses talk about why it's such fun to be one. And there's deleted and alternate scenes for about 10 minutes. I like the style with this, as there's alternate introduction scenes for Nick and Kurt, and part of me feels like some of this will be good to go back into the film, but another part makes me think that they would serve better as alternates to watch once you've seen the whole thing. There's also the making of Horrible Bosses, which is about 6.5 minutes, making of the soundtrack rather, which pretty much does what it says on the tin. There's also one of those audio descriptive tracks for people with like poor or little vision. So overall, the film, I'd give it 5 out of 10. That was a disappointment. Picture, that's a 10, that's solid. Sound, 7. Extras, a mere 4. So overall, it's 7 out of 10. If you really must see this film, then make it a rental, but I can't recommend a purchase, and the extras are pretty lame for what's meant to be a special edition, because it's called the Totally Inappropriate Edition, but the only totally inappropriate thing about it is just how lacking the script is. Okay, so in a moment we'll be having a look at the top 10 movie charts. But first of all, have a bit of music and a track from the end of a film. In fact, at the end of Lethal Weapon 2, a song you don't hear very often. It's George Harrison and Cheer Down. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was George Harrison with Cheer Down. And you're back on the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester 106.6. Now, at this point, I'll go through the top 10 movie charts. And I go through the US movie charts because I can never find a reliable source for UK ones, because Internet Movie Database was particularly hit and miss, and Rotten Tomatoes site just wasn't ideal. But anyway, so the top 10 this week, we have at number 1 still, Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. I'll just say all the trailers for these films you can see on the, if you just go to DVD Fever, facebook.com/DVD Fever Show, you'll see them all there. So in this highly anticipated next chapter of the blockbuster, The Twilight Saga, the newfound married bliss of Bella Swan, Kristen Stewart, and vampire Edward Cullen, Robert Pattinson, is cut short when a series of betrayals and misfortunes threatens to destroy their world. After their wedding, Bella and Edward travel to Rio de Janeiro for their honeymoon, where they finally give in to their passions. Bella soon discovers she is pregnant, and during a nearly fatal childbirth, Edward finally fulfills her wish to become immortal. But the arrival of their remarkable daughter, Renesmee, sets in motion a perilous change of events that pits the Cullens and their allies against the Volturi, the fearsome council of vampire leaders, setting the stage for an all-out battle. The suspenseful and deeply romantic Breaking Dawn continues the epic tale of supernatural fantasy and passionate love that has made the Twilight Saga a worldwide phenomenon, it says here. Well, I've never seen a Twilight film in my life, nor do I have the inclination to do so. In this trailer, man turns into wolf just as Bella is about to marry her man. But let's face it, it's not going to change anything. If you love the Twilight books and films and are probably a teenage girl, then you'll see this regardless of what I say. The end. Number 2, we have The Muppets. And when 3 Muppet fans learn that Tex Richmond wants to drill under the Muppet Theatre for oil, Gary, Mary and Walter set out to find the Muppets, who have been split up for years. Kermit lives in his own mansion, depressed in Hollywood. Gonzo is a high-class plumber at Gonzo's Royal Flush. Fozzie performs with a tribute band called the Moopits. Miss Piggy is a plus-size fashion editor at Vogue Paris. An Animal is a celebrity anger management rehab centre, or is it at one of those, in Santa Barbara. Now, starring Jason Segel from Bad Teacher, Amy Adams from The Fighter, Chris Cooper from The Bourne Identity, plus a million other things. Brilliant actor. Why is he in this? Plus Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy. From the trailer, this all looks immensely pointless. It looks like it may as well be a TV show. If you're going to watch it, you'll end up watching it, won't you? More fool you. Anyway, number 3, we've got Hugo. Hugo is a boy whose father dies and his uncle goes missing. He starts to take care of his uncle's cock. He steals from a man who sells Tinker Toys to fix a robot his dad was working on. Along the way, he makes a friend who has a key to help him get the robot working. Directed by Martin Scorsese and featuring Ben Kingsley, Ray Winston, Christopher Lee, Sacha Baron Cohen and Emily Mortimer, this is Scorsese's first venture into 3D, and it looks like it will make a decent family film, but it's too sickly sweet and childish for my tastes. I did get the thumbs up from Mark Kermode, though, which is quite surprising, because it says it's the only film worth watching in 3D. Number 4, got Arthur Christmas, which reveals the incredible never-before-seen answer to every child's question. So how does Santa deliver all those presents in one night? The answer? Santa's exhilarating ultra-high-tech operation hidden beneath the North Pole. But the centre of the film is a story about a family in a state of cosmic dysfunction and an unlikely hero, Arthur, with an urgent mission that must be completed Before Christmas Morning Dawns. Starring James McAvoy, Bill Nighy, Hugh Laurie and Jim Broadbent, basically one child has been missed out, and Arthur is the only one available who can take Santa's sleigh to deliver his presents. This one is definitely for the kids, not least because of the CGI. Number 5 we've got Happy Feet 2, the sequel to Happy Feet, the Academy Award winning animated smash hit. Happy Feet 2 returns audiences to the magnificent landscape of Antarctica in superb 3D. Mumble, the master of tap, has a problem because his tiny son, Eric, is choreophobic. Reluctant to dance, Eric runs away and encounters the mighty Sven, a penguin who can fly. Mumble has no hope of competing with this charismatic new role model, but things get worse when the world is shaken by powerful forces. Eric learns of his father's guts and grit as Mumble brings together the penguin nations and all manner of fabulous creatures from tiny krill to giant elephant seals to put things right. Happy Feet 2 is directed by George Miller, who won an Oscar as the creator of the original Happy Feet. The film features the voices of Elijah Wood and Robin Williams, Hank Azaria, Alicia Moore, aka Pink, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Sofia Vergara, one they always called Viagra in the newspapers, or probably just the Sun, and Hugo Weaving. I won't be watching it as it's another kids' film in CGI. It just means nothing to me. Number 6, we've got Jack and Jill. Now, Jack Sadle's seen in Adam, which is played by Adam Sandler, is a successful advertising executive in Los Angeles with a beautiful wife, Katie Holmes, and kids, who dreads one event each year, the Thanksgiving visit of his identical twin sister, Jill, also played by Adam Sandler. Jill's neediness and passive aggressiveness is maddening to Jack, turning his normally tranquil life upside down. Also starring Dana Carvey, Rob Schneider, and lots of cameos, including Al Pacino, Johnny Depp, and Shaquille O'Neal, the premise sounds utterly appalling. And after watching the trailer, I can confirm that it is. And making up the rest of the top 10 this week. Number 7, we've got The Descendants. Number 8, Immortals. Number 9, Tower Heist. Number 10, which has just come out over here, Puss in Boots. And now we're going to that's the top 10. In a moment, we have a look at the new cinema releases out this Friday. First of all, we'll have a bit of music. Now, I've said I'm going to have a bit of Christmas music, at least one every week up until Christmas. So last week we had Frank Sidebottom with Christmas is Really Fantastic. And this week we're going to have Greg Lake and I Believe in Father Christmas. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Greg Lake with I Believe in Father Christmas. And you're back on North Manchester 106.6. It's the DVD Fever Show with me, Tom Robinson. Now in this section we'll have a look at the new cinema releases out this Friday. And we start off with Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. And once again, all the trailers for all the films you hear, you hear about, are on the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVD Fever Show. Sherlock Holmes, played by Robert Downey Jr., has always been the smartest man in the room. Until now. There's a new criminal at large, Professor James Moriarty, Jared Harris. And not only is he Holmes' intellectual equal, but his capacity for evil, coupled with a complete lack of conscience, may actually give him an advantage over the renowned detective. When the Crown Prince of Austria is found dead, the evidence, as construed by Inspector Lestrade, Eddie Marsden, points to suicide. But Sherlock Holmes deduces that the prince has been the victim of murder. A murder that is only one piece of a much larger and more portentous puzzle, designed by one Professor Moriarty. Mixing business with pleasure, Holmes tracks the clues to an underground gentleman's club where he and his brother Mycroft Holmes, Stephen Fry, ubiquitous Stephen Fry, are toasting Dr. Watson, Jude Law, on his last night of bachelorhood. It is there that Holmes encounters Sim, Noomi Rapace, a gypsy fortune teller who sees more than she is telling, and whose unwitting involvement in the prince's murder makes her the killer's next target. Holmes barely manages to save her life, and in return, she reluctantly agrees to help him. The investigation becomes ever more dangerous as it leads to Holmes, Watson and Sim across the continent, from England to France to Germany, and finally to Switzerland. But the cunning Moriarty is always one step ahead as he spins a web of death and destruction, all part of a greater plan that, if he succeeds, will change the course of history. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go and see this. I mean, the first one was a massive disappointment, apart from the fantastic oldie-worldy London backdrops. And I'm deciding whether to give Guy Ritchie a second chance, but, I mean, to be honest, I'll probably most likely wait until it comes out on Blu-ray and then only look out for it if there's not much else around at the time. I was really looking forward to the first one as well, and just had nice visual touches to it, as this one does from the trailer, but beyond that, it's just, I don't know, it's difficult to describe it, it was just really a massive disappointment. Talking of disappointments, we then have Alvin and the Chipmunks with Chipwrecked, if we must. Now, the Chipmunks and the Chipettes, three female counterparts to the Chipmunks, go on a cruise trip with the Chipmunks' owner, stroke manager, stroke father figure, Dave Seville, Jason Lee. During the cruise, the Monks and Etts turn the ship into their own personal playground, causing trouble and running amok as they will. Eventually, their chaotic behaviour gets them shipwrecked on the Isles of Scilly, everyone getting lost in the process. As Dave sets out to look for the lost Chipmunk trios, the six find a new castaway on the island, who turns out to be more than a match for the trios. My thoughts on the trailer? Oh dear. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Next up we have a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. Now, 6 years have elapsed since Guantanamo Bay, leaving Harold and Kumar estranged from one another and with very different families, friends and lives. But when Kumar arrives on Harold's doorstep during the holiday season with a mysterious package in hand, he inadvertently burns down Harold's father-in-law's beloved Christmas tree. To fix the problem, Harold and Kumar embark on a mission through New York City to find the perfect Christmas tree, once again stumbling into trouble at every single turn. Now, I've never seen a Harold and Kumar film, and it looks passable, but not essential. And at least they take the mickey out of the whole 3D business in movies. Next up we have Another Earth. Now, if you could meet another version of yourself, what would you say? What if you had another chance at life, just like this one, only different? What would lure you? What would scare you? And what, if anything, would stop you? Mike Cahill's intimate and provocative first feature, Another Earth, tells a starkly moving story of Rhoda Williams, Britt Marling, a brilliant young woman searching for a way to right a terrible tragedy. She lives in a world just like ours, except that suddenly, overnight, a mysterious similar planet, provisionally dubbed Earth 2, has appeared in the sky, like a giant reflective mirror hanging over us. For Rhoda, that strange, eerie planet, and the parallel reality scientists say it promises, is her last hope. Lost after a shocking accident halted her dreams of becoming an astrophysicist, she has no sense for the future. Driven in life only by the need to confront her past, Rhoda ends up at the front door of the man whose life she irrevocably changed, renowned composer John Burroughs, William Mapother. Both disconnected, mistrustful and full of doubts about who they are, they fall into an unlikely and risky love affair. But when Rhoda gets the incredible chance to travel to Earth 2, it will expose the hidden truth between them and raises the question, what if the greatest mystery in the vast unknown is ourselves? Now, the trailer is weird. Apparently it's good, but apparently it's a good film, but not as good as Lars von Trier's Melancholia, which I've also not yet seen, so I'll probably see both at some point. Finally this week we have Wreckers. Now, the married couple move back into his childhood village to start a family, but a surprise visit from the husband's brother ignites sibling rivalry and exposes the lives embedded in the couple's relationship. Starring Claire Foy, Benedict Cumberbatch, Sean Evans and Sinead Matthews, the trailer doesn't give much away at all. It has a good cast though, but so it might be worth a look when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, but to be honest, I wouldn't rush to the cinema to go and see it. Okay, that's the films out for this weekend. First of all, in a minute we're going to have a look at the new DVDs that are out this week. But start off with a bit, before that we'll have a bit of music, and we'll have Bruce Springsteen and The Tunnel of Love. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Bruce Springsteen with The Tunnel of Love. And you're back on Manchester's 106.6, and it's a DVD Fever show with me, Don Robinson. Now, in this section, we'll have a look at the DVDs out this week, starting with The Inbetweeners movie. And Will, Simon Bird, Simon, Joe Thomas, James Buckley and Neil Blake Harrison have finished school forever and are off on their first lads' holiday. They're looking forward to 2 weeks in Malia with no parents, no teachers and little chance with the ladies. From disastrous holiday accommodation to Simon's heartache to Neil's spectacular dancing to Jay's falling asleep in an ant's nest, it's a real coming-of-age film where four boys become men. Or at least try to. And with a chance for holiday romance, the boys pull out all the stops. Now, watching the trailer, I got one laugh out of the ignorance of the characters, where one of them says, First up, the Minoan Palace of Knossos. And a second says, oh, we haven't come here to look at boring Greek ruins. And a third said, yeah, you can look at that anywhere. Yeah, exactly. Other than that, I'll pass. As for the special features on the package, the first disc, you got an extended version of the film plus four audio commentaries. Then you got 2 hours of unseen material of exclusive special features, including a making of, Joe Thomas Danger Man, Things We Did Instead of Rehearsing, London premiere, the Isle of Skye premiere, deleted scenes, a Sims parody, and some bloopers. Also out this week, we've got Rise of the Planet of the Apes. This one, Will Rodman, James Franco, is a San Francisco scientist who's been trying to develop a cure for Alzheimer's disease by testing a genetically engineered retrovirus on chimpanzees. The virus mutates the chimpanzees, giving them a human level of intelligence. One of his test subjects, a female chimpanzee, goes on a rampage because she believes her baby, to whom she secretly gave birth, is threatened. She's killed after disrupting a board meeting. Will's boss, Stephen Jacobs, David Awelio, orders subordinate Robert Franklin, Tyler Labine, to put all the test chimpanzees down. But he cannot bring himself to kill the chimpanzee's baby, and instead gives him to Will, who names him Caesar, played by Andy Serkis, and raises him in his house. Caesar has inherited his mother's high intelligence and learns quickly. Will gives a sample of the cure to his father, Charles, John Lithgow, who was suffering from Alzheimer's. At first his father improves, but later his body's immune system fights off the virus and his dementia returns. In his dementia, Charles gets into his neighbour's car and damages it, angering the neighbour, David Hewlett. As he threatens Charles and pushes him down, the onlooking Caesar attacks him. After the incident, Caesar is forced to leave Will's house and is held in a San Bruno primate facility run by John Landon, Brian Cox. The apes are treated cruelly by Landon's son Dodge, Tom Felton, who works as a guard there. Caesar is initially treated poorly by both the staff and the other apes. When Dodge brings his friends into the facility, one of them gets too close to Caesar's cage and is grabbed by Caesar, who steals his pocket knife, later using it to escape his cell. Caesar then frees a gorilla, and with his help gains dominance over the other apes. Now, watching the trailer, it just plays out exactly as you'd expect, and it just doesn't grab me. Can't be any worse than Tim Burton's version back in 2001 with Helena Bonham Carter probably not needing any makeup at all. That just plodded along for 2 hours and just served to be predictable and boring. Also this week we've got Super 8, and in the summer of 1979, a group of friends in a small Ohio town witness a catastrophic train crash while making a Super 8 movie, and soon suspect that it was not an accident. Shortly after, unusual disappearances and inexplicable events begin to take place in town, and the local deputy tries to uncover the truth, something more terrifying than any of them could ever have imagined. Now, I've not yet seen this, and I really do want to see this. It just looks like, special effects spectacular, quite frankly. So, yeah, I really want to see this. But there's also a lot of special features on it. Got an audio commentary from J.J. Abrams, the director, plus Brian Burke and Larry Fong. We've got some featurettes. We've got The Dream Behind Super 8, The Search for New Faces, Meet Joel Courtney, Rediscovering Steel Town, The Visitor Lives, Scoring Super 8, Do You Believe in Magic, The 8-Meter Revolution, Deconstructing the Train Crash, plus some Easter eggs and deleted scenes. Also out, we've got Mr. Popper's Penguins. This is a live-action comedy film distributed by 20th Century Fox, starring Jim Carrey, based on the children's book of the same name. Mr. Tom Popper, Jim Carrey, is a divorced realtor whose father travelled to many far places around the world during his childhood. When his father dies, a crate containing a penguin shows up at his doorstep. Eventually more penguins arrive, bringing the total to 6. Originally intending to donate the penguins to the local zoo, Popper's children fall in love with them, so he decides to keep them. At the same time, Popper is given the task of buying Tavern on the Green, an old restaurant that he used to eat at with his father as a child, with the intent of tearing it down and building a new development in its place. However, its elderly owner, Angela Lansbury, will only sell it to someone who she deems a person of true value. Now, stars Jim Carrey, Carla Gugino, Angela Lansbury, Ophelia Lovibond, and Jeffrey Tambor. And watching the trailer, it's definitely something to which I'll be giving a miss. But if you have kids, they'll probably love it. Special features on this disc include an exclusive short, Nimrod and Stinky's Antarctic Adventure. There's some deleted scenes. There's a gag reel. And featurettes including Penguin Pandemonium and The Legacy of Mr. Popper's Penguins. Also this week we've got Spy Kids All the Time in the World in 4D. And the action-packed franchise is back with the next generation of Spy Kids. Marissa Cortez, Wilson, Jessica Alba, has it all. Married to a famous spy-hunting television reporter, Joel McHale, a new baby and intelligent twin stepkids, Rebecca, Rowan Blanchard, and Cecil, Mason Cook. When maniacal timekeeper Jeremy Piven disrupts a domestic bliss threatening to take over the planet, Marissa comes out of retirement as a top-secret agent. With Armageddon quickly approaching, Rebecca and Cecil are thrust into the action with a little help from some familiar Spy Kid friends, Carmen, Alexa Vega, Junie, Daryl Sabara, and their faithful dog, Argonaut, Ricky Gervais, plus some mind-blowing gadgets. And they just might be able to save the world. In short, from the trailer, there's a baddie stopping time, there's two annoying kids, and a talking dog, voiced by Ricky Gervais. I do rather like Gervais when he's putting together a programme or a film that he's created. Except for Life's Too Short. But anything else is pretty much junk. Also, finding out this week, we've got Conan the Barbarian. Now, I could go into detail about this one, but when watching the trailer, it looks like a good bit of boys' own action-adventure nonsense with zero degree of subtlety to it. However, bear in mind it costs $70 million to make and only grossed $21 million in US cinemas. Basically, it's not going to make its money back. It stars Jason Momoa as Conan, Rachel Nichols as Tamara, Stephen Lang as Carl R. Zim, Ron Perlman as Corin, and Rose McGowan as Marik. Other films out this week, we've got Casuals, Devil's Gate, the first movie, and The Interrupters. Some sort of TV series and other general stuff. We've got 7 to 49 Up, a complete box set of all that. We've got Britney Spears Live, the Femme Fatale Tour. We've got Most Haunted Christmas Spirits. Pardon the Expression, the complete series. Rhapsody Nesbitt Series 10. Red Cap, the complete series. Tales from Europe, The Singing Ringing Tree and The Tinderbox. Those are both on one DVD. And also U2 From the Sky Down. And some Blu-ray premieres, nothing to shout about. So we've got Festive Fireplace 3D, woo! And Safari 3D, wow. But you can't wait to rush out and buy them, can you? Okay, that's all your DVD releases and Blu-rays out for this week. And then we've got a little bit, in a moment, we're having some film news. First of all, we'll have a bit of music. We'll have Franz Ferdinand and Matinee. This is 106.6.
106.6.
That was Franz Ferdinand with Matinee. And you're back on Manchester's 106.6. And it's the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson. And this last section up to the top of the hour, we'll have some film news. And we start with the news that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the 15 films that will compete for the Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Check out this list. We've got Captain America, The First Avenger, Cowboys and Aliens, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, Hugo. Why not Harry Potter 1? That's surely got a fair amount of visual effects. Hugo, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Has he even come out over here yet? Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. I doubt that'll be getting a looking for best script. Real Steel. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows. Sucker Punch. That's a film I really still want to watch. Super 8. Thor. Transformers, Dark of the Moon. Again, one that just won't get picked out for its plot stories. The Tree of Life and X-Men First Class, which is absolutely brilliant, well worth watching. Now the list will get narrowed down to 10 next month, and 5 will eventually be nominated for the Academy Award on January 24th. I don't envy the people who have to choose from the top 5. As far as the effects are concerned, there's not a clunker in the bunch. Will the visual effects branch just go for blockbusters like Harry Potter and the X-Men? Or will they make room for art house entries like Hugo and Tree of Life? We'll find out in the coming weeks. Now, year-end top 10 lists can get pretty mind-numbing, as you see the same titles crop up again and again and again and again and again. But filmmaker John Waters has set himself apart by posting his a bit early. Waters first published his list in Art Forum, along with brief explanations for his picks. His top 10 are as follows. We've got number 1, The Skin I Live In, from Pedro Almodovar. 2, Mildred Pierce, which wasn't a film, it was a TV series. 3. Justin Bieber, Never Say Never. 4. Had Witch from Bruno Dumont. 5. Kaboom from Greg Araki. 6. If a Tree Falls, a story of the Earth Liberation Front. 7. The Tree of Life from Terrence Malick. 8. I'm Glad My Mother Is Alive. 9. We Were Here. And 10. Uncle Boon Me Who Can Recall His Past Lives. Now, as for Justin Bieber, Waters felt the need to clarify that he was not kidding about this. A well-made documentary which proves that Bieber was a child prodigy, he wrote. Wait until you see Justin stick his head into the audience and shake his hair in 3D. I screamed. Bet you did. Then we got Pharrell Williams on his Oscar gig with Hans Zimmer, saying, I'm pinching myself. Oscar-winning composer Hans Zimmer and Grammy-winning songwriter and producer Pharrell Williams will join the Academy Awards telecast as music consultants. It'll be the first time both men have worked on the show. Zimmer is an 8-time Oscar nominee, including the original scores of Inception, Sherlock Holmes, Gladiator, and took home the statue for The Lion King. Williams, who considers Zimmer his mentor and has long wanted to collaborate with Oscar's producer Brian Grazer, wrote the original score for Despicable Me. It was in a recent phone call with Zimmer talking about the online music made simple venture UJam that Zimmer said, hey, I have this idea. They asked me about the Oscars and I thought about you. Would you be into it? And Williams said, and I was like, hell yeah. So he said, okay, it's settled. We'll do it as partners. And I said, okay, cool, let's do it. The rest is history, man. It was in the trades everywhere the next day. And I was like, wow. Now, Williams says they've already had a meeting with Grazer, but he won't get into specifics. I don't want to lessen the impact of what we're trying to do. But it's some really interesting things. I can't do impressions, can I? But it's some really interesting things. I think people will be very surprised. We'll be writing a lot of music. We'll be doing what you assume the job entails. But beyond that, what you would expect. It's different. It's an interesting opportunity. Hans and I are both other-minded folks. We're other. We're not cut from the regular cloth, so we have to do other things. Now, the importance of the evening hasn't escaped him. I'm pinching myself mentally, like, yes, this is real, he says. As a child, you always watched the Academy Awards. I never thought I'd be a part of the show. Literally, a part of the show. The 84th Academy Awards is hosted by Billy Crystal and will air February the 6th. And finally, we have the news that the Game of Thrones directors have been looked at to direct Thor 2. It's pretty shocking news when it was announced last week that Patty Jenkins was dropping out of directing Thor 2 after having been attached to the project for the last 2 months. The report said that Jenkins' decision was motivated by creative differences with Marvel and that the studio would immediately start looking for someone to take her place. Well, two candidates have already risen to the top. According to THR, Alan Taylor and Daniel Minahan are now the top two filmmakers being looked at to direct superhero sequel Thor 2. Much like Jenkins and her rumoured predecessor, Game of Thrones director Brian Kirk, both Taylor and Minahan have done most of their work on television. Taylor has been directing TV shows since the mid-90s, has episodes of Oz, Mad Men, Bored to Death, The Sopranos and Game of Thrones on his resume, while Minahan's prior work includes True Blood, 6 Feet Under, Grey's Anatomy and again Game of Thrones. The studio is currently looking for a writer to work on the next version of the script, while Don Payne wrote the first draft. Marvel is currently considering Sheldon Turner, John Colley, Happy Feet, Robert Rodat, Saving Private Ryan and Roger Avery, Pulp Fiction. And Thor 2 is currently scheduled to be released on November the 15th, 2013. Okay, that's everything for this hour. So coming up in the second hour, we've got a mixture of video games and TV, starting with a review of Assassin's Creed Revelations on the Xbox 360. But before that, takes to the top of the hour, we'll have a bit of music from Divine Comedy and Becoming More Like Alfie. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Cars of the Unstoppable Sex Machine with Panic. And you're back on with the second hour of the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, live on Manchester's 106.6. And the second hour, we've started off with everything to do with video games, and we've got a review of Assassin's Creed Revelations on the Xbox 360. After that, we'll have a look at the top 10 games charts, some new video games releases, and some video games news. In the second half hour of this hour, we'll have a look at some TV stuff, including a look back at Without You and Black Mirror, a look ahead, some more programmes coming up, and also some TV news. We start with a review of Assassin's Creed Revelations on the Xbox 360. And when it comes to Assassin's Creed, I haven't played any game in the series since the first one, and that was because I was disillusioned with the fact that it kept jumping back into the present day, which drove me up the wall as it was very jarring. The basic premise was that your ancestors' memories are transferred into your brain and that you act out like they would. However, you didn't need to pretend that we're playing a game full of AI and computer-generated imagery, because we already are. A number of aspects here come about rather like the Hitman series, such as hiding from the enemy. Do it for a little while, and they'll soon forget you're about. In Assassin's Creed Revelations, you play Ezio Auditore, a wealthy Italian out for revenge, and on a mission that will take you to Constantinople, the heart of the Ottoman Empire, where a growing army of Templars threatens to destabilise the region. I could go into a long and protracted explanation of how the game works, but this is the fourth entry in the series, and anyone who's played them all will just want to know what's good about this release and what still needs some work, although it is rumoured that this is the very last in the series. Looking at the good stuff in this game, there's a lot of good fun to be had, particularly when a fight scene ends up looking cool as you take on four men at once and the camera angles take over briefly as you finish someone with style. But it does get annoying sometimes when there are lots of little CGI scenes that cut into the action for a prolonged amount of time. To get occasional ones, giving it a cinematic feel are okay, but you don't want to make it feel like you've lost control of the game, otherwise there's no point playing at all. I also love walking past people and nicking some money, and then watching them get all indignant as they realise something's happened, but they aren't sure what. Zipline assassinations are also great fun, as you zoom down a zipline and then just like land on someone. And it's also a hoot to throw poison darts at the baddies, as they start stumbling about and then thrashing their sword all over the place. That's not a euphemism. Often attracting the attention of others and inadvertently killing them as a result, either by sword or by contracting the poison. Job's a good'un. And for those who wish all games came with dialogue that wasn't just spoken in the original English language, this title has spoken language options in English, French, Spanish, German and Italian. Now there are some gripes here. It's annoying that you can't replay levels as if you're playing them for the first time. You have to go through a DNA system that just lets you play the individual parts of the level. It's annoying because in the gaming footage that you'll see online, I stuffed up the parts of Sequence 3. And stuff at the start of Sequence 3, and I wanted to replay it, but I can't. So in the gaming footage, you've got the intro, where I stuff it up and then kill people, thinking that'll allow me to go back to the start, but it doesn't. Then I play the DNA part about the prisoner, and then the game continues properly. There are other little annoyances, like not being able to swim when jumping into a small amount of water. That was in the original game. Now, I'd heard about these problems have been fixed along following the original, just not letting you set foot in any water without wanting to bump you off. And in playing Revelations, I see that early on at least, it doesn't jump back into the lab, and so you get to play the game as I always expected it. Gameplay is an issue too. You'll notice from the footage that a lot of the time when I try to jump up and climb a wall, I stupidly end up double backing in. During Sequence 2, The Crossroads of the World, while trying to climb the tower in 60 seconds, I climb a fair distance into the air, and then jump off to certain death. You can also make bombs, but to get the parts and craft a bomb just seems a bit of an arduous task to get into. I prefer just to get my implements ready-made so I can attack them with ease. I'm also not keen on the RPG style of the game, on the defence, where you have to set up all your men on a roof and then let them shoot enemy passers-by. I prefer to get stuck into the action myself. That's a good design for life. In addition, like the original, there are also some modern day moments, but I just tended to skip this story as it becomes in between sequences and is easily ignored. But I just want to get straight back into the action, basically. So the scores on the doors, I've got graphics and sound, a definite 10 out of 10. Playability, 7. Enjoyment, 8. Good 8. And so overall, a very good 8. So yeah, that's well worth playing. In a moment we'll have a look at the top 10 games charts, but first of all we'll have a bit of music from Adam F and Circles. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Adam F with Circles, and you're back live from North Manchester 106.6. It's a DVD Fever show with me, Dom Robinson. Now, in this section we'll be having a look at the first of all the top 10 games charts, and then some new releases that are coming out this Friday. And the top 10 charts are as follows. Number 1, again, we've got Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 2, FIFA 12. Number 3, Assassin's Creed Revelations. You just saw the review of that earlier. Number 4, Just Dance 3 Special Edition. Number 5, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Number 6, Saints Row the Third. Number 7, Professor Layton and the Spectre's Call. Number 8, Mario Kart 7. Number 9, Battlefield 3. And number 10, Super Mario 3D Land. Also some new entries out this week. We've got ABBA, You Can Dance, has gone straight in at number 30. And Zumba Fitness 2 has gone in at number 34. I suppose that's not gone in higher, to be honest. Maybe that's just out on the way at the moment, but it'll come out on the others eventually. I also got re-entries for Dead Island at number 38 and Gears of War 3 at number 40. Now, I've got some new video games releases out this Friday. They're not exactly stellar titles, but I think everything that's decent that's going to come out has already come out. But anyway, we'll start with Eggheads. It's on the Nintendo DS. Get ready to impress your friends and family as you compete against a team to become the ultimate egghead. It's time to put your thinking cap on and test yourself against the most knowledgeable quiz show team in history. Prove your trivia know-how with 9 specialist subjects ranging from history, sport, politics, and food and drink. Featuring official questions set by the Eggheads team, take on the most accomplished quiz team members, CJ Demui, Kevin Ashman, Christopher Hughes, Judith Keppel, Daphne Fowler, Barry Simmons, and Pat Gibson. Let's just hope Dermot Murnau isn't involved. Anyway, so do you have what it takes to beat the Eggheads? It says there are over 2,400 unique questions, including 700 sudden death questions. So there's 3 game modes, including training mode to help you prepare for the ultimate egghead. There's 10 challenging mini-games to compete. Earn hint bonuses with every completed mini-game to use the main quiz. Wow. Also got Star Wars The Old Republic on the PC. It says your personal Star Wars saga begins. Play Star Wars The Old Republic and be the hero of your own Star Wars saga in a story-driven, massively multiplayer online MMO game from BioWare and LucasArts. Explore an age thousands of years before the rise of Darth Vader when war between the Old Republic and the Sith Empire divides a galaxy. Choose to be a Jedi, a Sith, or one of a variety of other classic Star Wars roles, and make decisions which define your personal story and determine your own path down the light or dark side of the Force. Along the way, you'll befriend courageous companions who will fight at your side or possibly betray you based on your actions. Together, you will battle enemies in a dynamic Star Wars combat and team up with other players to overcome incredible challenges. Key game features include: define your own Star Wars saga. Choose from one of 8 iconic roles and become the hero of your own personal Star Wars saga. An interactive storyline with cinematic dialogue and full voiceover for in-game characters. Adventure with companions. Build or break meaningful relationships with your companions as they join in your journeys and fight at your side. Engage in heroic Star Wars combat. Fight against reactive enemies in dynamic lightsaber duels, cantina shootouts, depending on who shoots first, and large-scale multiplayer battles. Pilot your personal starship. Earn your own ship, which is your base of operations, as you explore the galaxy and participate in epic space combat. And discover a fully featured MMO. Join your friends and experience player-versus-player war zones, multiplayer flashpoints, multi-group operations, guilds, auction houses, crafting, mounts, and much more. And finally out this week, we've got Trina 2 Collector's Edition. Presumably not related to Trina, the girl out of El Dorado, if anyone who remembers that brilliant soap from 92 to 93, which got canned by the BBC because they were just being stupid. They should have kept it going. Anyway, my gripes aside, that's my issue. I'll deal with it. Trina 2 Collector's Edition. The most enchanting side-scrolling adventure is back. After a first episode which has marvelled hundreds of thousands of players around the world, Trina, the incredible and enchanting action platformer, makes its return in a new adventure, more fantastic than ever. The kingdom is troubled once more, now by wildly growing weeds and forests. The three heroes of Trina come together again. Amadeus the Wizard, Pontius the Knight, and Zoya the Thief. They must embark on a fabulous journey to unravel the mysteries of the cursed forests. Damn this spelling thing. Travel through lush, visually stunning, yet dangerous worlds and fend off the assaults of fearsome monsters. Put the special abilities of your three heroes to good use in order to overcome numerous lethal traps, solve many physics-based puzzles, and unlock incredible mysteries. You'll gain experience through your adventure, allowing you to unlock and upgrade all new abilities. Locally or online, invite 2 of your friends to join you in your adventure. No challenge is too great if you work as a team. Combine your powers and find new ways to overcome obstacles, puzzles, and monsters. It says it has amazing graphics, producing one of the most enchanting adventures ever. It says you can solve challenges and puzzles in unlimited ways, combine the three character abilities, and let your mind come up with creative solutions never seen before. Makes it sound like The Apprentice. Anyway, so that's everything that's out this week. I say it's not a great deal, to be honest, is it? But I don't think we'll see anything decent again until after Christmas, really. But in a moment, we're having some video games news. But first, we'll have a bit of music and go back to one of those sort of hidden... what's the word? Not hidden treasures. Guilty pleasures. From when I was at Keele University in the early 90s. And it's Kaoma and Lambada. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Kaoma with Lambada. And you're back on Manchester's 106.6, and it's a DVD Fever show with me, Dom Robinson. Now, in this section, we'll have a look at some video games news, starting with the news that the Xbox 360 dashboard update is now available following delays. The new Xbox 360 dashboard update will adopt the Metro panel seen on the Windows Phone and Windows 8 operating systems. Channels can be navigated using either a controller, Kinect, or voice control, which will be integrated into its brand new Bing search function. That search engine that no one uses. Everyone Googles, don't they, still? But other search options are available. A new series of entertainment apps are due to be released over the coming months, including YouTube, Love Film, and BBC programming. Apps including Love Film in the UK, ESPN US, and Netflix US and Canada will launch alongside the Xbox 360 dashboard update, while Blinkbox, Dailymotion and YouTube will be released later this month. BBC programming will not be available until 2012, nor will the likes of HBO Go and Xfinity On Demand, both of which are available to, which are exclusive to US Xbox 360 owners. The new Xbox 360 dashboard update, it will adopt the Metro panel. I'm not repeating myself there again. And at Gamescom 2011, Microsoft revealed that the new dashboard update will also add Xbox Live Cloud Storage, which will be compatible with all games. Well, that'd be good if I could upload, you know, just some of my saves, because I'm just running out of space, quite frankly. Then again, that was mostly down to playing Rage, and that's probably not a game I'm going to play again. So later on in December, we'll have 4 on demand in the UK. In fact, I'll just list the things that you can get in the UK. There's no point listing the ones that are only available elsewhere. We've got Blinkbox, something called Crackle, not sure what that is, but it's also available in Australia and Canada and America. Dailymotion, Demand 5, well, the only one program I watch on that, and that's the right stuff. MSN, Muzu TV, whatever that is. As well as the UK, that's going to be in Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Italy, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, Spain and Sweden. Vivo, a thing which seems to be taking over YouTube, and YouTube itself. In early 2012, there'll be Antenna 3 in Spain, BBC in the UK, Cinema Now in the USA, HBO Go in the USA, something called MLB.TV, which is in just about every single country going, or every main country, including the UK, and also Telenovelas / Sports, which is in a lot of countries as well as the UK. So also the news that the Nintendo 3DS update adds 3D video recording with new Street Pass content. Excuse me. The 3D video recording application also adds an interval shot option, recording still images in quick succession for time-lapse footage, as well as frame pick that allows images to be combined, similar to stop-motion animation. Street Pass Mii Plaza adds new puzzle swap panels to complete, while Street Pass Quest offers new ways to beat enemies and additional hats to collect. The mode also adds an achievement-like accomplishments page, a street pass map that records the regions where people are from, a slideshow for completed puzzles, and a music player. The eShop is now able to host demos for certain downloadable releases, as well as multiple downloads to take place when the system is in sleep mode. Finally, Nintendo 3DS owners can now transfer content between systems, such as save data, eShop purchases, and account funds. We are always striving to enhance the features and functions of the Nintendo 3DS to bring new fun experiences to our fans, and this upcoming system update brings some of the most exciting updates yet, said Managing Director Laurent Fisher. Nintendo 3DS's launch has already proved more successful than the DS, outselling the system's first year sales in 8 months, although a lot of that's got to be down to just absolutely slashing the price. The 3DS will receive the Circle Pad Pro peripheral, try and say that when you're drunk, in January alongside horror adventure Resident Evil Revelations. And there's also the news that Grand Theft Auto 3 10th Anniversary Edition will release on iOS, which is the iPhone kind of thing, and select Android devices on December 15th. Originally released in 2001, Grand Theft Auto 3 was the first 3D entry in the series, offering a vast and unprecedented open world to explore. The updated mobile port features touchscreen controls and smooth visuals from the game's PlayStation 2 debut. GTA 3 10th Anniversary Edition will be released on a number of devices, including the iPhone 4, iPad, Android Galaxy R phones, and Android Galaxy tablets. Now, there's a lot of things that it can be that's going to be coming out of, a lot of Android phones, but not mine. I've got an HD Desire Z, and even if you've got an HD Desire or HD Desire HD, you can forget it. It's not going to be on that one. It's quite a shame. I was quite looking forward to having that on my phone. It'll be a bit of a laugh. Anyway, if you can get it, GTA 3 10th Anniversary Edition is available on December 15th for £2.99. Bargain. It is, actually. Okay, so that's everything to do with video games. And in a moment, we'll be having a look at some TV programmes watched in the past week. But first of all, I'll have a bit of music. We'll have Moby and Honey. So it's 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Moby with Honey, and you're back on Manchester 106.6. It's the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson. Now, in this last section, we'll have a look at some TV programmes watched in the past week, starting with Without You, which runs every Thursday on ITV at 9 o'clock. It says it's a gripping new three-part thriller based on a novel by Nikki French. School teacher Ellie Manning hears the devastating news that her husband Greg has been killed in a car accident, and her grief is compounded when the police tell her that Greg did not die alone. Another woman, Milena Livingston, was in the car with him. Faced with the shattering knowledge that Greg was having an affair, Ellie is determined to discover everything she can about Milena. Ellie's best friends Gwen, Fergus and Joe rally round to help, but are unable to stop her obsession with the woman who died with Greg. Now, starring Anna Friel, Pippa Haywood, Clive Wood, Mark Warren, Tim Woodward, Barnaby Kay, this first episode planned out predictably as it could. Greg dies, Ellie starts to mourn him, as well as dealing with the fact he cheated on her, and then talks to him as if he's in the room. At least that gives Mark Warren an extra bit of on-screen time. Then she goes to see the husband of Melina, and then to the place in the woods where Greg's car crashed with a pair of them in it. Then they have the funeral, where she thinks she sees Melina's husband turn up. After that, she spends her time mapping out the last month of his life, looking at his emails and receipts, and trying to find any proof of his affair. Her friend Gwen tells her that denial is part of the grieving process, and soon after, it ended. The clip for episode 2 shows Ellie going off half-cocked at everyone as if it's all some big conspiracy about Greg's death, but I'm not sure if I'll actually care enough to watch. Without You equals without surprises. This was incredibly dull stuff. Also out, we've had Black Mirror, the first episode of that I saw, with it was called The National Anthem. Charlie Brooker returns to Channel 4 with three standalone dramas that are sharp, suspenseful, satirical tales with a techno-paranoia bent. Charlie authors the first two, while the third is written by Jesse Armstrong. Over the last 10 years, technology has transformed almost every aspect of our lives before we've had time to stop and question it. In every home, on every desk, in every palm, a plasma screen, a monitor, a smartphone, a black mirror of our 21st century existence. Our grip on reality is shifting. We worship at the altars of Google and Apple. Facebook algorithms know us more intimately than our own parents. We have access to all the information in the world, but with no brain space left to absorb anything longer than a 140-character tweet. Now, it had a cool-as-hell opener, scurrying with the Channel 4 iDance at the start. And in the programme itself, Susanna, Duchess of Beaumont, national sweetheart and quite possibly the people's princess, has been kidnapped and threatened with death. There's only one way to stop it happening. The Prime Minister, Rory Kinnear, must have sex with a pig live on air at 4 o'clock that afternoon. They eventually track the location of where it had been uploaded and prepared statements for two outcomes about the princess, good ones and bad ones. In order to fake the sex act, they brought in a technician to green screen the PM's head onto a porn star actor and get him to do the deed instead. Meanwhile, the princess's finger had been cut off and sent into a news station, along with a video of it being removed and the words "no cheating," since the picture got out of the porn star being brought into the TV studio, as the kidnappers had specified a number of directions, including the fact that there should be no trickery involved in the making of the broadcast. Unfortunately, the upload location was a decoy, and when one advisor said they'd done all they can, the PM replied, You sent in a strike team to rescue a mannequin. Another reviser said suddenly, a warning is going out beforehand. Apparently the sonic tone can cause nausea, and an ear-piercing tone was broadcast. Now, overall, it wasn't as revolutionary as the trailers made it sound, but it was a great piece of entertainment, and well worth watching on 4OD if you've not seen it yet. I also love the way that the trailer for episode 2, which was about an X Factor style contest, ended with the words at 9:30 PM, straight after the X Factor final, which is obviously on a different channel. Now, also on Sunday Just Gone, there was the second part, 15 Million Merits, which I've not seen yet, so I'll just give you the brief sort of synopsis for that. So it's just, it says the second episode is set in a sarcastic version of a future reality, and 15 Million Merits is a satire on entertainment shows and our insatiable thirst for distraction. In this world, everyone is confined to a life of strange physical drudgery. The only way to escape this life is to enter the hotshot talent show and pray you can impress the judges. Okay, so that's everything watched in the past week. And a little moment, we'll have a look at some TV programmes coming up. First of all, I have a bit of music. I'm going to have Kirsty McCull and Walking Down Madison. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Kirsty McCull and Walking Down Madison. And you're back on the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, on live from Manchester's 106.6. And this section, we'll have a look at some programmes coming up in the next week, starting off with Black Mirror, The Entire History of You, Episode 3. In the near future, everyone has a memory implant that records everything they do, see and hear. A sort of Sky Plus for the brain. Or TiVo. I'm a TiVo boy, really. You'll never forget a face again, but it's always a good thing. It stars Toby Kebbell, Jodie Whittaker and Tom Cullen. It's also the British Comedy Awards 2011 on Friday at 9 o'clock on Channel 4. And this is previously... They sort of moved it to January, so on January in this year. But then they just moved it back to December where it should be. Which just makes sense, really, anyway. It's a live broadcast from Fountain Studios, London, hosted by Jonathan Ross and featuring all the top names in British comedy and guest stars from around the world. It's one of Britain's most unpredictable awards events. Well, it used to be, really. A kind of Christmas party for comedians, bringing together a raft of new stars with long-established talent, all vying for a prestigious British Comedy Award. A star-studded lineup of internationally known celebrities and comedians are on hand to give out the awards and stir up the laughs in the room. The show features the funniest TV comedy moments of the year, peppered throughout in celebration of another vintage year in British comedy. Also on this week, we've got Steve Jobs' Billion Dollar Man on Wednesday, 9 o'clock on BBC Two. And the episode is called Billion Dollar Hippie. Why it's called Billion Dollar Man, then they have a subtitle Billion Dollar Hippie, God alone knows. But anyway, it's a documentary looking at Apple, one of the biggest corporations in the world, fueled by game-changing products that tap into modern desires and its leader Steve Jobs, who contributed to its success by fusing a Californian counterculture attitude and mastery of the art of hype with explosive advances in computer technology. Insiders, including Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, the chairman who ousted Jobs from the company he founded, and Jobs' chief of software, tell extraordinary stories about the rise, fall and rise again of Apple with Steve Jobs at the helm. With Stephen Fry, worldwide web inventor Sir Tim Berners-Lee, and branding guru Rita Clifton, Evan Davis decodes the formula that took Apple from suburban garage to global supremacy. Also on Wednesday, just after at 10 o'clock on BBC Two, we've got Class Dismissed. It's official, Class is back. Riots on the streets, old Etonians in government, a workforce on strike, Downton Abbey, the King's Speech, the Royal Wedding and Vajazzling. In this one-off special, Frank Skinner is joined by comedians Mickey Flanagan, Roisin Conaty and Miles Jupp to assess whether Class is still relevant in the 21st century. Probing analysis meets comedy chat as our comics become intrepid reporters, examining the subject through their own unorthodox reports. Makes it sound like that's Britain. The well-heeled Miles attempts to turn himself into a working-class hero. Newly bourgeois Mickey asks why he still hates modern art. Salty the Earth Roisin seeks love across the class divide. And Frank and the team dissect their findings in front of a studio audience as they explore the funny side of class. Yeah. It might be worth watching. You never know. It only lasts half an hour, so you won't lose much of your life anyway if you do watch it. Okay, so that's everything worth having a look at in the coming week. And next week is, I think it's going to be the last episode, last show before Christmas. So I think next week I'll have a look ahead to what's coming up over Christmas. Should be stand to reason, really. But before that, we'll have a whole week of the week of your life to go. But before we have the TV news that are coming up, we're going to have Todd Rundgren and I Saw the Light. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Todd Rundgren with I Saw the Light. And you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, live from Manchester's 106.6. And this last section takes us to the top of the hour. We'll have a look at some TV news, starting with the news that Philip Glenister has said that he's about to start filming a third series of Mad Dogs. Speaking at the recent Women in Film and TV Awards, the Ashes to Ashes actor revealed that the cast begin shooting another batch of episodes in January. It's a bit of a roller coaster, really, he divulged. We finished the second series in August and then Sky commissioned a third, so we're going to start shooting that at the end of January for a few months. Glenister also revealed that horror movie star David Warner has joined the second series of Mad Dogs, which airs in 2012. The 48-year-old added, "It sort of becomes a bit of a road movie. There's some new interesting characters. We've got David Warner, who's coming in to play a rather sinister chap. The Sky One drama, which also stars Glenister's Life on Mars colleague John Sim, as well as Max Beasley and Mark Warren, was a ratings hit earlier this year." But I enjoyed it, but then it sort of all fell apart at the end. So, to be honest, I thought it was going to be one of the last things that got a second series. But anyway, also the news that Olivia Colman, Julia Davis, Sharon Horgan are to star in a Channel 4 pilot. Channel 4 has commissioned a new comedy pilot featuring three of Britain's leading comic actresses. Bad Sugar will star Olivia Colman, Julia Davis and Sharon Horgan, who also conceived the idea for the show together. The half-hour pilot centres on a dysfunctional, wealthy mining dynasty, for sure, with an ailing patriarch and some greedy siblings. The show, produced by Tiger Aspect Productions, is described as a peculiarly British take on telenovela-style melodramas played for laughs. Bad Sugar has been written by Sam Bain and Jesse Armstrong, the award-winning writers behind The Old Guys and Channel 4 hit comedies Peep Show and Fresh Meat. It will be brought to the screen by The Inbetweeners director Ben Palmer. The programme will also feature Peter Serafinowicz, Rhys Shearsmith and David Bradley, best known for appearing in Ideal and the Harry Potter film series. Executive producer Sophie Clark-Javoy said, "The process of bringing together such gigantic talent, both on and off screen, has been tremendously exciting. Bad Sugar is a darker comic world where anything can happen, and does." Writer Sam Bain and Jesse Armstrong add, "We've always wanted to write a show with poisoning, death threats, extreme psychological pain and big hair. With the help of the amazing cast, we're hoping it might be what everyone in UK TV has been waiting so long for. Grey Gardens, the sitcom." Nerys Evans, Channel 4's comedy commissioning editor, said, "We're so delighted to have three of the country's funniest comedy actresses come together on this glorious project. It's beautifully written by Sam and Jesse, who are without a doubt the hottest comedy writers in the UK right now. If that mix of comedy talent wasn't tantalising enough, it's also directed by Ben Palmer, fresh from the record-breaking Inbetweeners movie. To say we're excited by Bad Sugar is a bit of an understatement." Bad Sugar will be shown on Channel 4 next year. Meanwhile, Olivia Colman is currently starring in Rev and will continue to appear in Peep Show when it returns next year. Julia Davis stars in Channel 4's Black Mirror on Sunday, just gone. And Sharon Horgan is currently making Life Story, a new BBC Three sitcom set in a prison. Now, if they can give her a new series, why can't they give her a more series of pulling? Go on, BBC, pull your finger out. On to BBC Three. They announced a series of online pilots. BBC has announced six new comedies, which will be piloted online via a new strand called The Comedy Kitchen. The shows will be available to view on the BBC's iPlayer service and via the BBC Three website. The programmes are each 30 minutes long and are The Imran Yusuf Show, a mix of stand-up and sketches from Imran Yusuf, the up-and-coming comedian who was nominated for an Edinburgh Comedy Award in 2010 and has since appeared on shows like Michael McIntyre's Comedy Roadshow and Edinburgh Comedy Fest Live. And the pilot has been created by production company Brown Eyed Boy. There's Impractical Jokers, a comedy entertainment show produced by Jelly Productions, which four comedian friends compete in awkward real-life scenarios that they set for each other, all recorded by hidden cameras. It's People Just Do Nothing, a mockumentary following a group of wasters from Brentwood trying to run a pirate radio station. Dawson Brothers Presents, a single-camera, fast-paced sketch show based firmly in contemporary culture and modern day truths. The BBC produced show has been created by a prolific sketch show writing team, the Dawson Brothers, aka Andrew Dawson, Steve Dawson and Tim Inman. Alison Jackson's Breaking News, the spoof news show, will poke fun at celebrities using lookalikes. The programme is produced by Jonathan Levy and Ian Thompson for a production company, iEntertainment. There's also The Boy with the Tape on His Face, a show from the Edinburgh Comedy Award nominated BIMACT. The boy, real name Sam Willis, will perform in the pilot with his trademark piece of tape over his mouth. The pilot is being produced in-house by the BBC after the comedian impressed his bosses in the BBC3's multi-platform Edinburgh Festival coverage. Under the plans, BBC3, or rather its website, will become home to all of the operation's online comedy outputs, including popular series such as Misery Bear under the Feed My Funny banner. Okay, so that's everything for this week, and all the trailers, I say, for everything, trailer links and gaming footage, you can see on the Facebook page at facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. So until next week, do you know what? I'm feeling a little bit tired. 106.6